Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to episode number 161 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and psychotherapist extraordinaire Sean Orford.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. We're just staring out the window at the moment here in Liverpool, aren't we?
Yeah, looking out across the sea and looking at the windmills, the wind generators, and trying to work out why some are going round and some aren't.
Yeah, well, that one, the closest one, has just stopped spinning within the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then I thought that they would turn automatically into the wind to get the maximum.
Well, how do you know they're not?
Well, why? But those are the ones that are going round and those ones aren't. So yeah. They're not in the wind, are they?
Maybe it's just not windy enough today.
Or maybe they are fixed in a direction. I don't know. I need to do some research on this.
We should do, really.
Yeah.
We should. Maybe not in this episode.
No.
We'll stop talking about it now. But yeah, that's something I will spend a little bit of time looking at later. We're talking about trust this week, aren't we, Sean?
We are.
We've got a little bit of a listener email. Confidential. Keep names quiet. But I'll read that to you in a bit. But yeah, and before that, how are you doing? All well?
I'm good. I'm writing. I'm writing a book with a chap that I work with called Peter Bohan.
Peter Bohan.
And we're going to write a book which is about mindfulness and management in the NHS.
Ooh, okay.
So we're going to play with that idea.
Cool.
He's doing a PhD at the moment, so he's collecting stuff for that, and we're going to just play with some ideas, see what we can do.
Let me know when you need a cover doing, eh?
We will. Yeah.
Hello, happens. You'll be the first to hear about it via email. Speaking of which, if you'd like to join our email list and be first to hear about these episodes as they go online, go to liveinthepresent.co.uk. Pop your address in one of the boxes on the site. We'll also send you free meditation files, maybe even a discount code for our book, Live in the Present, and a few other goodies besides. No pressure though. Feel free.
Just would never talk to you again if you do.
I'm busy too, man. I've got email overload at the moment. I had a nice quiet-ish period for a week or two when I thought, let's get some little side projects on the go here, but then
they'll teach you.
It all kicked off again. People started wanting stuff designing and domain names registering and websites getting going. Exciting, though. I like helping people out.
It's good.
Should we crack on?
We should do some cracking.
Yeah. Let's crack. Okay, so I had an email from a listener who wished to remain nameless, and it's quite easy for me to do that because they didn't give me their name. So even an email.
That's good.
But it's where is it? Here we go. Yeah, for a person who's gone through a divorce and is now onto another relationship, and basically the effects of the divorce and how it happened, I believe he was cheated on. Kind of running into this other relationship now. So he said, my ex-wife had an affair that I discovered some 2 years after our divorce. I'm now with someone else. Good news, but I find it difficult when she goes out in the evening as I fear she might be unfaithful, even though there's no evidence. I find it tough to deal with that. Things are good when we're together, but it's difficult when we're apart as my mind starts to imagine all the things that could happen. So this is a pretty natural reaction, I'm sure, but bit of work to be done, hey?
Yeah. And in a world where, depends on which statistics we're looking at any one point, but if we're up to kind of 50% divorce rates, then it's a common problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that needs to be looked at.
I mean, we do spend a lot of time in the show kind of, I guess, talking about relationships that are breaking down, and they're at that point where they need to decide whether to let it go or to fight for it. But in this case, the relationship is gone and there's a new one on the scene, which should be an exciting time, shouldn't it? I mean, should be not the best part of a relationship, because it's all good.
Backpedal.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, you have the honeymoon period, don't you? And if you're out of a relationship and then you're starting on something new, it should be a super exciting time.
Mm.
So I feel bad that it's not going as happily, but I can understand why. So where do we start on that?
The thing is that this may sound bonkers, but when we're in that situation where we're carrying the baggage from one relationship to the next, the first relationship hasn't finished, it's not completed. That doesn't mean to say that you're in love with the person. You may indeed be in hate with the person. Yeah, but the thing is that there still are emotional connections to the past. So what's happening is we start to transfer the unresolved negative past onto the new person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and one of the things always is, and it's mentioned in the message there,
mm-hmm.
it's about the images. The problem that we have is that we're visual creatures. So we start to imagine things. We start to imagine our ex-partner with whoever it was. Maybe we knew them, very often we do. Yeah, so we have lots of images that can be completely spurious and they're nonsense, but they're going around in our head. And then we start to project that onto our new partner. Our new partner's gone out with one of their friends for a drink somewhere. And we start to, the monkey in our head starts to play the game, throws bananas at us that are all full of ideas about, oh, she's met someone else and she's doing this and she's doing that. And we can start to imagine all kinds of things that 99% likely to be untrue.
Yep.
And then we start living them like they're real.
Mm-hmm.
Get anxious, upset, get hurt. The person comes in and goes, "Hi, darling, how are you?" And we go, "Don't give me hello, how are you?" Because we're now full of all the negativity.
Or even, we're checking emails and we start checking text messages. That's slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah, when you start checking people's emails, diaries, computers and knicker drawers, it's time to stop. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, this is mad. Why are you in a relationship where you're needing to do that? And if you're doing that because you had a previous relationship that was bad, you need some therapy to make sure that you finish the first relationship so it stops infecting the second one.
Yeah. So that's step one. This person already has, obviously won't go into any details as to if you've been working together or not, I don't know, but he has reached out, which is a good sign.
Mm. Yep. To go into the live in the present material, doing step one is really, really important,
mm-hmm.
Because it's the issue of letting go of the past. And you can't actually be in your present while you are connected to the past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got these negative associations of what someone's done to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the hardest things for all of us is that we've got this issue about 60% of people admit to having affairs. You know, in fact, over 60% of people admit to having affairs, which means you've got like a 1 in 3 chance of the person that you're with being faithful. Yeah, and I'm not wishing to sow any negative seeds in anyone's head. What I'm saying is that is what we would consider to be normal behaviours, what the majority of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that the issue is, I mean, he's saying that his ex-wife had an affair that he discovered 2 years after they'd split up.
Yeah. Yeah?
They'd already split, and yet the fact that this affair happened hit in hard and created levels of distrust in other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we're showing is that our emotional longevity is huge. And I've worked with people who are in their 40s and something happened when they were 4 and they're still emotionally attached to it and just as energised as they were when they were 4. And like learning to process and let go of those emotional ties that bind us to the past is really, really important.
It's tricky as well, because you see it on the news, don't you? Especially in certain cases where people have... Stuff has happened to them as youngsters, and then, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, it's still obviously ongoing. And
you see that in these lot of kind of the sexual cases
it ain't easy. I mean, in a case like this, then, when you're into a new relationship, you advise kind of getting help and getting some therapy.
No, number one is go and do step one. Oh. Complete step one properly. Do it as a proper exercise. Don't just read it. Actually do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And start the process of letting go so that you can allow yourself to be in your present, to be in your moment, and not living in this unresolved past.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing to do with the person that you're with, and it's really kind of unfair, isn't it, on them, that we project all this stuff onto them and we start to get cheesed off with them for just being themselves and being normal.
Is it okay, though, to let that person know that you are... working on it.
Yeah, well, I'd say that.
Or do you do the work in the background in secret?
I think that it's clarity, and I think that it's okay to say to somebody, when you do that, I feel like this. Right, okay, now there's a discussion. That doesn't mean to say that when you do that, you shouldn't do that because it feels like this. It could be that when you do that and I feel like this, it's because I've got a problem.
Yeah.
But the issue is that if we're both open with that and we're both honest with it, we've got a chance of resolving it. And me admitting to the fact that I am disturbed by things because of things that happened to me gives me an opportunity to address and deal with those. And maybe gives my partner insight.
Well, yeah, I didn't paste it into the show notes here, but another part of the email we received went into a bit more detail about how his partner is quite sociable and likes to go out with friends and drinking. And then he's obviously aware and which is undeniable that people under the influence of alcohol are more likely to do certain things, even though he's got no evidence that anything has happened.
When you start to look at the idea of...
You can't just say, I don't want you to go out anymore with your pals.
No. When you start to look at the idea of, I don't like your behaviour... But I suppose the first thing is, if I don't like your behaviour, why am I with you? It might be quite a good one. But also, if I don't like your behaviour, why don't I like your behaviour? What is it about your behaviour? Why is it scaring me? Why is it making me anxious? A way of almost degrading people.
Mm.
Yeah? But people live what they live. The thing is that if I am a confident, rounded human being and I'm secure in myself, I can allow you to be a confident human being and be complete in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Why is it that maybe we're in a bar or we're in a party and the person that is attractive to us is the person who is kind of outgoing, is gregarious, maybe is sharing and open and communicating, so that is an attractive thing to us. So we're attracted to it, but once we've been attracted to it, we want them to stop doing it now because it might be attractive to someone else.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah,
that's kind of bonkers, isn't it? And it's like... if you think your wife or your husband's got a beautiful body and you see them dressed up so they look dead sexy,
yeah,
and they're going out somewhere, do you think, wow, you know, that's my partner, aren't they sexy?
Yeah.
Or do you think, oh my God, quick, go and put a bag over your head before anyone sees you because I'm threatened. You know, what do? It's only when I've got a clean past that didn't interfere with my present, and that I've got a level of my own self-esteem. You know, it's like when you walk into a party with your partner on your arm, are you thinking, wow, everyone's looking at my partner, does that make me look good? Or are you thinking, well, everyone's looking at me, does that make my partner look good? You know, like, we see things in different ways, do we?
Yeah. Blimey, she's so good looking, I'm not worthy, or she's going to leave me.
I find my wife very attractive, and I would be amazed if other people don't find her attractive too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't be threatened by people finding her attractive. Now, I might be a bit insulted by people that didn't. But you know what I mean? It's like if you're attracted to somebody, it makes absolute sense that other people are going to be attracted to them as well.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah? But just because someone's attracted to someone doesn't mean say they're going to go and get their knickers off and do something. That's my baggage, isn't it? And I need to resolve my baggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, to allow my partner to be what she needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. We do this funny thing when we get married, don't we? I was at a wedding a couple of weeks ago. There's a very formal service usually, and there's some important words that are said, and they have to be repeated. And so every now and again when I go to a wedding, you hear these things for the first time again in a few months or a couple of years or whatever. And they are quite good words, aren't they? And they can vary, the
which,
vows.
Which words are you thinking of?
Well, the wedding vows, to have and to hold, to love and treasure.
Yeah, right.
All this sickness and health.
With my body, I thee worship.
All
that stuff. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and there's little tweaks you can make, aren't there? But one of the blog posts, which I'll link to in the show notes, kind of said maybe it's worth renewing your vows every now and again.
Hmm.
Which is quite a good thing to do. I was thinking maybe you can just read them every once a month, have them written down somewhere.
I know loads of couples who do the yearly thing, you know, anniversary time. They will go and sit down and talk about the year they've had and the year they want to have and any issues that they've got and what they want to change or work out.
Yep.
And go back through the whole idea about, you know, we're together, why are we together? It's our anniversary. We're renewing our commitment to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a powerful thing to do,
for
rather
sure.
than becoming sort of complacent in it.
Yeah, but even you don't have to be married to hold these vows, do you? I mean,
no.
Just, maybe there's things that as couples should do anyway, even without long before they get married, you know, on a semi-regular basis.
Yep. Yeah, if you made that commitment to another person, then on what basis is the commitment? And maybe there needs to be kind of some rules of engagement here.
Mm.
You know, and that in itself is a contract, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
there's a couple of other blog posts that I'll link to in the show notes. Yeah, how to rebuild trust even if it feels impossible, on a website called mindbodygreen.com. Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
One of the things that I would say, I want to revisit my teacher saying to me that when I was going on to him about trust, now you couldn't trust anybody, and he's laughing at me, and he's saying, trust is what happens to a chicken before it goes in the oven. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? And he's saying, when you trust somebody, it's like they're trussed up like a chicken is before you put it in, they can't move.
Okay.
But actually realising that people change and develop and grow, and they do move and they do change. And if you communicate with them and you're working well together, then you grow and change together.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate, then what happens is you grow apart.
Mm.
You know, and you can't tie somebody up and tell them that they should and must. It doesn't work like that.
Okay.
Yeah, trust is something that you don't demand of somebody. It's something that grows between you.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. How often do you see situations like this where people have... they've done the work with you initially, maybe on getting through the divorce. How often do you work with people like a year or two down the line, struggling on the next?
Lots.
Next step.
No, really? you do quite a lot. Yeah, the people go through a wobble.
Mm.
You know, something's happened that has resonated with an unresolved past, and has kicked something off.
Yep.
So, like, okay, now we need to revisit the past and resolve that area, and get it to a state of kind of de-arousal, take it down. Let it go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any more tips or anything else you'd like to talk about, Sean?
No, I'm cool. I'm my resource of the week.
Yeah.
I shouted out for one of my books last time. This one is Nicroelastic, which was the second book that I wrote. But it's about relationships. And the thing that it attempts to explain, amongst other things, is the issue about how all of us need to feel security. If we feel secure, then we can be open, honest, we can be creative, we can be loving.
Mm.
But as soon as our security is compromised, that's when we start to become inhibited. And understanding what's security for you and what's security for me are two completely different things. And it could be that if I rush into the bar and slap all the women's backsides and that makes my partner feel a bit anxious, you know, it might be a good idea that I don't do that because I don't want my partner to feel anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to saying, well, I didn't mean anything, that's your problem.
Mm.
Yeah, it's working together, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mentioning one of your books again, Who'd Have Thought?
Yeah, and why not?
I'm going to mention a whole book, well, not specifically mention a whole bunch of books, but I found a cool blog post, which is 10 books that will reshape how you think about relationships.
All right.
And each one talks about a slightly different aspect of a relationship.
Oh, I've got that one.
Oh, yeah.
Getting the love you want. Yep.
Hold Me Tight, 7 Conversations for a Lifetime of Love, Wanting Sex Again. Ooh, but yeah, a bit saucy, that one. There's 10 of them. I won't read them all out. But they're all highly recommended, highly rated. So
yep.
Check out the link in
our good.
Show notes for this episode.
In the same way that when you get a child, it doesn't come with instructions printed on its backside. You have to work out how to communicate with, deal with, love, develop this child. Yeah, mm. It's the same in a relationship. There's no manual. You've got to work it out between you.
Yep.
But if you don't communicate, it doesn't work. Mm.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Next week we'll talk about something else.
We will.
Exciting. Again, we're kind of in this...
The whole world is exciting.
We're thinking things up on the spot, really, aren't we? But there's always stuff for us to talk about.
There's always stuff. The world is out there to be talked about.
Indeed, but not just the wind turbines. But, yeah, like the chap who emailed us in about this one, if you would like us to discuss something that's pertinent to you and important, then please do email us podcast@livingthepresent.co.uk.
And the other side of that is, as a few people do, is that if you need any one-to-one with me, then just drop me an email. And
you'll ignore it
for as long as I can.
Only kidding. Cool. Okay, yeah. livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out. All the show notes and links for this and previous episodes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for little daily nuggets of inspiration and advice.
Yeah, and Ree's input on that is worth a shout.
Your
she does
gorgeous wife.
My Ree. Gorgeous wife.
She's a stunner.
She's a stunner.
You don't mind me saying
I'm
that.
I'm stunned
yeah.
to me boxes. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, all right, we'll take care till next week. We'll see you soon.
Uh-huh. See ya.
Bye.